Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us once again today on this Let's Face the Issues broadcast. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we invite you to participate with us today on a very important subject. We're going to be talking about in a moment the subject, national anarchy. Are we watching that take place in America? What does the Bible say about these last days? How should we respond? We'll talk about that in a moment, but we invite you to participate today in this dialogue and discussion. You can do so by dialing 401-1413. If you're out of the area code, it's 904-401-1413, and you can join in the dialogue and discussion on Let's Face the Issues. Before we do that, let me invite you to worship with us this Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church. Bible study hour, Sunday school is at 9:30 a.m. 10:45 a.m. is the morning worship, and at 7 p.m. is the evening worship time. Yes, we still sing the old gospel songs. We still believe that biblical preaching, expository preaching, verse by verse, chapter by chapter preaching is what God would have us to do in the Scripture. By the way, have you ever thought about why we have such a big old book called the Bible with so many verses in it, so many chapters in it, so many individual Bible books in it? It's because God wants us to reveal Himself to us. And from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22 is the progressive revelation of God to man. And therefore, the only way we will truly know God more intimately is through His Word. And so that's what we do at First Conservative Baptist Church. We try to have all preaching, teaching, and according to the Scripture in the 1 Timothy 3 text, one of the qualifications for a pastor is that he is apt to teach. That is, as the preaching of the Word goes forth, then there is the process of teaching the recipient of the Word, teaching the Word of God to individual hearers as they sit under the Word being proclaimed. So I pray that you will take time out and worship with us Sunday. We've met on the air. We'd love to meet you in person, have the privilege of ministry together, and see what God would say to you through the preached Word. First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, and more specifically, that is 1 mile south of I-295, right in the heart of Mandarin. We'd love to have you participate in one of the worship services even this Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, when we sit back and think about all the things that's taking place in our nation today, and we'll talk about some of them in a minute, we'll isolate some of them, and we'll have dialogue and discussion on some of them. But I am fearful that even as Christians, so many times we're prone to sit back and wring our hands and have the philosophy somehow that it's hopeless, that we're in a world where it's hopeless. We're in a world where everything is collapsing around us, and it can look that way very seriously on many days when we wake up and see what's happening and churning in Washington on both sides of the aisle. But may I remind you, and may I point our attention to the Scripture. In the Scripture found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Scripture says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And ladies and gentlemen, perilous times has arisen. We're here. Perilous times is upon us. What does it mean, perilous times? It means dangerous, deadly, depraved, difficult, dark, devastating. And so, ladies and gentlemen, even though all of those terms seem absolutely horrendous when we think about it, God's not tried to in any way give a show and shine or paint a glossy picture for what is going to happen in the future of the world. We know the future of the world based on the authority of the Scripture. But as we are informed biblically, God would have us to be a part of the resolution in society. And we do that by being salt and light. We've been charged with the responsibility of being obedient to the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So when we face these issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. I've said many, many years now, most Christians do not have a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview simply means that for every circumstance, for every situation, for every issue, God has already predetermined in His Word, and it's pre-written for us that we'll understand what God says, how to handle it, and what is taking place. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in this time where the Scripture says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unnatural affection, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that do good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to talk about today national anarchy because, listen, we have the wonderful privilege of living in America. We have the wonderful privilege of being in America. Ladies and gentlemen, it is what this old song says, "The land of the free and the home of the brave." America is founded on a biblical worldview, not only on God's word, but on our Constitution, wherein we have the Bill of Rights, and the American Constitution gives us, and as we look at it today, our form of government is a constitutional republic, not a mob rule by what is called democracy, where the mob makes the decision. Yet it seems that the mob rule is guiding the philosophy for most of our elected representatives, local, state, and national. In fact, the LGBTQ is now urging Congress to scrap religious rights in preference for the sodomite rights. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a nation that anarchy is standing up, being heard, and being seen. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a dangerous era when our Constitution and all the United States stands for is being destroyed through national anarchy. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please. Hello?
Glad to be with you today. Hello, can you hear me?
Thank you. Yes, thank Hello. You so much for joining us. Hello, we're here.
Okay. The interesting thing that I see going on today, and of course, release the memo is all over the internet. All over the internet right now. This Nunes investigation has led to this memo documenting so many abuses within the FBI, Department of Justice, the Mueller investigation, FISA warrant abuse, and it seems to me that the this deep state, this swamp, doing everything it can to keep these things undercover. The DOJ has now written a letter saying, "Hey, we don't want you to release this memo. It could jeopardize national security." Well, doggone it, we have so many violations taking place. And by the way, I'm convinced that we would hear none of this if Hillary were the president of the United States. But all these violations are taking place. This goes back for many years. I mean, we all remember Clapper scratching his head and saying, well, not wittingly, talking about, I wonder if he meant the people don't know that we're doing this, that we're watching all these documents, trailing all the, tracking all these phone calls and messages and all. I wonder if he really meant, well, the people are not witting to this, when he scratched his head and said, not wittingly, in response to a congressman on Capitol Hill. He lied, in my opinion. On Capitol Hill, before Congress.
Absolutely. And Greg, listen, one of the things that I'm curious about from your perspective, when you talk about these FISA warrant violations, the 702 under the law, that we find the memo now being written, I think it's about a four-page memo, and the hair pulling and the hair on fire and the screaming out of the DOJ, wonder what position Jeff Sessions is taking on that issue. It seems to be that he is sub-silent, that is beyond the realm of silence. It seems as though he's climbed into a closet and is not willing to come out of the closet and do something for the DOJ that he was appointed for, and to bring about the prosecution of all of these inequities and things. And by the way, just as you said, if Hillary Rodham Clinton had been elected, this would never be known by the general public. The violations would continue. The prosecution, the persecution of the enemies of the state, as it's called, for those that are in office, would continue in an escalating form. So what are your thoughts in relationship to what I'm calling all of this, simply national anarchy? We're seeing it standing up and revealing itself across the nation in many facets and forms. What do you see in relationship to not just the FBI and the DOJ and what's happening in the realm of the political circus in Washington, but about the total picture of what's happening in our nation today?
First off, we are immensely blessed in America. As perverted and twisted as it is, we as believers still have a lot to be thankful for. However, silence is consent. When we as believers sit down and do nothing, this evil triumphs. If Sessions continues to be silent, we must assume there is consent on his part. We must assume that he is a part of the problem. Silence is consent. And it seems to me the system seems broken. You know, we have that question, is it really broken? When you look at the Webster's 1828 definition of anarchy, it is want of government. A state of society where there is no law or supreme power, or when the laws are not efficient and they please with impunity, political confusion. Guess what, folks? It seems like we're there. Whether we're talking about Hillary erasing 33,000 emails, whether we're talking the EPA contaminating a river back in 2015 and no one went to jail, no one lost their jobs, no one lost their pensions, whether we're talking the Clapper not wittingly stuff, or whether we're talking the FISA abuses, it seems like there are two sets of laws, I should say. There's one set of laws for we the people, and the bureaucracy does not have to abide by the same laws. They are acting as though they are completely untouchable. And again, silence is consent. Whether it's us being silent or whether it's being the bureaucrats, the politicians, by the way, that four-page memo you were on all these abuses, it's amazing to me, and I'm disappointed in both Republicans and Democrats, but it's amazing to me, it seems like dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of Republicans, and many have talked about it, only, I understand, 10 Democrats have taken the time to actually go down and read the memo. Why is that?
Well, I think it's because, and I think our listeners need to hear this, I think it's because, and it's a good question, by the way, it's simply because I believe, personally, that we have the swamp that's alive and well, the sewer that's alive and well on both sides of the aisle. I believe that if the truth is known and all of this onion is peeled, you'll find multitudes in the House and in the Senate today, the rhino Republicans and the liberal, loose-likes-lost left liberals on the Democratic side that are guilty of sin in relationship to being a part of it. I find it fascinating that John McCain, I understand that he's ill, but I understand also that John McCain's climbed into a closet and there's total silence because it's through the hands of John McCain that this dossier that was the fake, phony, false production of the DNC and Hillary Clinton, which is synonymous, the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC, synonymous in that they were one and the same with the same dollars going in the same purse, that was fabricated by them, and it was then passed on to John McCain, of which I believe is the one that hand-delivered it to the FBI, and as a result of it, I believe we have multitudes of Republicans that their hands are filthy dirty in relationship to it. We're talking about major, major, major prosecutorial things that have taken place, and they're being silent about it. So I agree. Yes, I think that's the very reason they're silent on both sides and not wanting this information to come to the public.
Right. It seems to me the simple things from a Christian perspective, going back to the earliest of God's commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. What do we have? What's the core of a lot of this stuff? It's that false witness that $11 million was paid for out of the Hillary camp and out of the DNC camp into that fake dossier. And, of course, that opened the door, I believe, and I believe we'll see within this memo, that opened the door for the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act to be put into play and for the federal government, for that national security agency, to be militarized against political adversaries. They, you know, within the agency, you have individuals that see Trump, that see conservatives, that see, you know, who are their adversaries, and then they put that machine to work within our country against their political foes. That's not what FISA was intended for. And as soon as the doors open for that to be done, whether it's, you know, Trump or whoever, for a political reason, then none of us are safe. If these things, if these abuses can stand against a president that's apparently innocent of any of these charges of collusion, he's apparently innocent of these, if they can be used against him falsely, is anyone in this country that is safe? Are we at the point of anarchy? It's really looking very, very close to what would be a textbook definition of anarchy.
Well, one of the things that is so serious, I believe, Greg, is that I believe that Barack Hussein Obama, under the organization that he has structured and the bragging about hundreds of millions of dollars at his disposal and some 30,000 warriors, just simply can be picked up at the keystroke of a computer to go to battle. And any time that President Trump starts an initiative or any place that he's planning on a foreign tour to carry out the state's business or America's business, Barack Hussein Obama is there, or some entourage of his, just like recently with John Kerry meeting with the Palestinian jihadist and telling them, don't worry about President Trump. He'll be here for a brief period of time. He'll be gone, and we can help you with what you want him to do. That's anarchy, and I believe it's all orchestrated out of the residence of Barack Hussein Obama and carrying out his wishes, just as with the William Jefferson Clinton administration, where he had the enemies list that they would be undermined and destroyed through the IRS or other mechanisms of the federal government. I believe we're watching today, as I've said, the disintegration of our nation, the loss of our Constitution, and it's by anarchy. Another aspect of the anarchy, I believe, Greg, is what we're seeing with the states and the cities, with what they call those cities that are set up for refugees and for the illegals to come in, and they're safe places. And we have states that are saying, we're not going to obey the federal law. Cities that are saying, we're not going to adhere to federal law. That's another aspect of the anarchy. And just recently I read an article where secretly, in a subversive fashion, hundreds of thousands of teenagers, illegals, are now being transported by a private plane across America. They're being distributed in our cities so that they can become, i.e., recognized as part of the DACA group. The dreamers that just got into America. They hadn't been here. They weren't brought here by their families or their mothers. And all of this is orchestrated to give millions upon millions upon millions of additional voters for the 2018, 19, and 20 election cycle. So again, it goes back to looking at anarchy.
You've hit on what I believe is the agenda, the purpose, the reason why, you know, by some estimates we've, by legal methods and illegal methods, had at least, by some calculations, 31 million folks have come into this country from abroad. A lot of it pushed by Democrats because I believe they see that this is a power play. They will come in and vote Democrat for the most part. But you see with those states that are saying that they're going to be sanctuary states or sanctuary cities, we as states delegated authority to the federal government on issues of immigration and naturalization. You'll find that in Article 1 of the Constitution. And when you get further in the Constitution, you find that the Constitution is self-described as the supreme law of the land. States don't have the authority to then step back in and say, no, you know, federal government, we gave you this authority to deal with immigration and naturalization, but we're going to tweak the rule in our subdivision, in our state, in our cities. That right does not exist. And, of course, now with California, they've seemingly opened Pandora's box yet again with the motor voter thing. It's such a twisted concept. The lawlessness is off the charts, and truly, yet again, it seems like anarchy.
Yes, you see, you just touched on it. California has now said that they have 700,000 illegal aliens that have driver's license, and now the courts have ruled that if they have a driver's license, they have the right to vote. And yet that is not a prerequisite in our Constitution for voters. And I find it almost unbelievable. Comrade de Blasio in New York City today said that for all of those that are illegals, because they're a sanctuary city, that now those in New York, the illegal aliens in New York, will be able to receive, listen, free tuition for the state's colleges and universities. And yet the citizens of New York have to pay for their college education. But de Blasio is now saying, we're going to give it to the those that are illegal. We're going to give it to them free. And that flies in the face of anything that's called constitutionality or a republic in which we live today. We're watching, again, what I'm calling the anarchy that's standing up. We have witnessed the FBI and the CIA and the DOJ, along with other intelligence gathering agencies, that refuse to respond to Congress's request for documents. I find that almost unbelievable in America.
Well, we don't have the right to sit back and say nothing. As believers, we're called to be salt and light. We're called to speak the truth in love. Sometimes Amen. The truth stings a bit. And for us to, yet again, I'll say, silence is consent. If you're a believer and you're sitting silent, you believe you can sit on the sidelines and everything will work itself out. Remember the old Edmund Burke quote, "The only way for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." God didn't put you on this earth to sit down and do nothing. And, you know, Ronald Reagan said this nation in his 85 inaugural address, he says that the United States, that America is the last best hope of man on earth. I was speaking last night to a group of people, and we were talking about the 400,000-plus missionaries that are around the world, Christian missionaries. At least 127,000 of those were sent from the United States of America. The freedom we enjoy today, the prosperity we enjoy today, is still used to send the gospel around the world. Gideons have put over 2 billion testaments in the hands of folks all over the world. That was begun in the United States of America. America cannot die. Christians, you must stand up. You must be heard. You must be counted.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, we call it 401-1413 and join in this dialogue and discussion, 904-401-1413. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you that there's something good. And Greg, I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but here in the state of Florida, House Bill 871, introduced by Representative Jay Fant, will make it absolutely illegal for any organization or any group like the LGBT to file suit or to come against a Christian business for saying, no, it's against my Christian conscience. I cannot do what you're asking to be done. And so I'm thankful that there's some good things happening. And then one of the things that just excites me greatly is House Bill 839, which will require In God We Trust to be dominantly displayed in every school in the state of Florida. What do you think about that? I think that it's wonderful to see that we have some legislators in Tallahassee, at least in our state, that's doing something in regard to what will benefit and bless the Christian community.
Well, it's great and wonderful and also scary, because we already have in the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution a protection for our religious liberties. It already exists. So from one perspective, it's there. The courts have misstepped and not appropriately applied the Constitution as it's currently written. So now we're passing legislation to further enhance that protection. My only concern is if the courts do not respect the Constitution as it is written today, will they respect the law?
Yes. Greg, if you'll hold on and let's continue this conversation. I believe we have another caller on the line that wants to join in this dialogue and discussion. If you would, go ahead with your call and your conversation, please.
Yes, good morning, Pastor. I fully agree with the caller that's currently there now. He's absolutely right on. I want to take a little different position, though. Everything in our world has a spiritual application. You know that. A handful of Christians in the country know that. But because in our culture we can't do directly and openly address it without pushback or being discounted, we must address it in secular terms. So we never hit the root cause, we only hit the symptoms. But let me say this, let me address this in secular terms. I don't want to overstate my background, but I have a fairly good military background, particularly in the area of military intelligence with some global operations. And I can assure you that by projecting the current social data that we have, which is exactly what the CIA does to determine what's happening, our nation is, in fact, on a vector to extreme anarchy in a relatively short time. There are agencies at work that have found points of division in our nation, and they're working it very, very hard. And they're even doing it within the various denominational groups by attacking long-held important doctrines. But even in the area, and probably more importantly, in the area of the sociology of America, and I think the caller that's on right now said there are about 31 million that have come in that presumably a large percentage will vote Democrat. The purpose of the agency is to empower these godless Democrats that are destroying our nation. Now, if you add to that 31 million, let's say 80 or 90% will vote Democrat, the already existing subculture of the Democrat Party that is in the Democrat pockets, you have well in excess of 10% of the American people who are ideologues with respect to tearing down and tearing apart this nation. And I remind you that in Germany, in the Soviet Union, in China, and all these other nations run by the Marxists, it only takes 10% of the ideologues to control the government. We're right there in America right now, and as we continue with these agencies pushing and pushing and pushing other wedges into our natural divisions, religious, racial, educational, et cetera, then we will be propelled into anarchy. And the current caller on right now, in my opinion, is exactly right, and that is from a secular military point of view. Let me take your commentary off air.
Thank you so much for that call. And listen, that caller was exactly right, because I'm reading an article now. I have it right in my hands, and it says the millennials in America would prefer socialism. Prefer socialism. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look around the globe and any place socialism and communism has ever been in any fashion instituted, it's been a dire failure. Greg, what do you say about the comments just made by the other caller?
He hit the nail right on the head. We have the challenge really is so it's dynamic, and there's so many aspects of the challenge. But I will say this: you take 31 million folks and quantify that all the way at the electoral college level. When we elect our president, it goes through an electoral college. We have those representatives in Congress have an equal share representation in the electoral college. A representative represents about 700,000 people. So we have dozens of representatives, if you will, in the electoral college, potentially representing folks that are not citizens of the United States. You go, well, how does that happen? These folks are actually included in the census for the most part, because they'll go door to door with the census. And how many folks live in your house? 8 people. What's your last name? Whatever the last name is. Are you a citizen? Oh, sure. What are they going to say? No. So literally, we have the effect at the local election level, the state election level, and the federal election level, and even the electoral college level. That's just the elective aspect. We're not getting into the true agenda, the forward-looking agenda, but really, at the core, it goes back to silence is consent. Unless believers stand up, unless they're counted, they're seen as consenting to this. These
we've
folks
got just
that are radicals,
we've got just a few seconds left on the broadcast. Absolutely.
Right.
Got just a few seconds left on it, but let me close with this, ladies and gentlemen. The scripture says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and this is the answer to all that we've discussed today: if my people, which you call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. And ladies and gentlemen, our land needs healing today, and so it's on the backs of the Christians to pray, seek God's face, and obey Him, and speak up, be salt and light in the society in which we're living in. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.